Diplopedia, which rolled out about 5 years ago this spring, the idea was when you the diplomatic workforce is constantly moving around, and I don't think the average Joe off the street realizes just how much the diplomatic corps has to up and move from position to position. And really what drove the creation of Diplopedia, it used to be a standard diplomatic assignment. It was 2-3 years. You'd go someplace, you'd learn your country, you'd know very little about it perhaps when you got there, but you knew a lot about it when you left. Or you had some sort of assignment to fit that you may have been the budget officer and you knew nothing about budgeting.
Right.
Other than what you got in training, but then you got to the real world.
And it's not, I mean, this isn't just a government problem. Every large organization faces these problems, but particularly government faces these issues because people tend to bounce around in jobs.
Yeah, I mean, the civil service is set up that the way you rise is that you move from job to job. The Foreign Service is an assignment to assignment. FBI, you move from different field offices around the country. So the idea, the simple idea was, suddenly, when you had people going out for maybe a year or less to places like Afghanistan or Iraq, you didn't have that luxury of time to learn the job. So that was the
idea with Diplopedia was this was a way we in technology we use the horrible term knowledge management, which sounds so clinical, but essentially it's information sharing. Hold on, I've garnered all this information over the years. How do I hand it off to the person who's going to follow in my footsteps?
Exactly, and the idea, and it's really happening now. So when I left the Foreign Service, when I joined the Foreign Service, it was a building that seemed to be full of people who were older than me, by 10 or 20 years. Now, when you see the Foggy Bottom area, the guys in suits are younger than me. So obviously, there's been some sort of cohort replacement there. And the idea was, knowledge transfer. How do you get, and tradecraft stuff, how-to questions, not the intelligence stuff,
right,
or, the political stuff, but just, how it's my first day on the job as a Fiji desk officer. What do I do?
Yeah.
So it's, it's
what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Who are the
exactly.
key people? It's all that kind of stuff that you talk about with the person who had the job before you.
Right. So, and the big idea was, and corporations, so I have a friend at Cisco who did this with Cisco, where they basically said, everybody installs a Cisco switch a different way, it seems like. Wouldn't it be nice if all our customers contributed how they get this stuff to work for us?
Yeah.
And they did it. So Cisco instituted a huge wiki knowledge base on, all their different hardware, how it works, and the problems it faces when you put it into a real network in the wild. So this is not something that only the State Department is doing or other government agencies. It's just this is now a fact of life for any large organization that's going to have knowledge transfer issues from employee to employee.
And we were talking before we started, this is 5 years ago. So this has been going on for a little while. People may remember in the last 6 months there have been this little thing called WikiLeaks that has come into our vernacular. Which is a site that's taken all sorts of cables that it got a hold of and is just dumping them in piece by piece, and has really caused a lot of these sharing knowledge management initiatives, people to get queasy about it.
Yeah, I mean, after 9/11, we were all told, Colin Powell.
Share.
Yeah, Colin Powell came on the job and said, we need to share. This has to happen. And for anyone who's seen interviews with the people who were at CIA or FBI who had pieces of the puzzle, they're obviously all very, very deeply impacted by their incapacity to move the information around. What I fear that Julian Assange and company are going to do to the intelligence community and to the broader, it's not just the intelligence folks either. I mean, when you're talking about getting information to the right person at the right time,
yeah,
you're stretching across all the veins of government into the private sector. But it's going to really empower those who say, no, we really shouldn't talk to anyone. We do this pretty well in our own little silo. And I know a lot of folks don't want to see things that way, but that is the conservative approach. If you don't want to have a spillage problem like this one, where it looks like a fairly junior enlisted man probably did this, then you're going to have to lock things back up. And then, you know, that sets the pendulum swinging towards, you know, some sort of future event where we say, why didn't we connect the dots?
It has the feeling that we're fighting the last war instead of looking at everything in context. This feels a little knee-jerk to me.
We have to evolve. We have to be nimble. We have to use our information resources. And then the other problem that's out there, too, is, you know, the sharing has happened, but, you know, the people who are really plugged into the sharing problem well and have gotten across that, then it's the deluge of information you actually have to sift through.
Yeah.
And, you know, the key thing people are going after right now, I mean, the holy grail, per se, is, you know, can you program computers to start sifting through the information so your inbox only hits with what you ostensibly want to read?
Yeah, what you need.
Right.
In the Wall Street Journal over the holidays, Floyd Abrams, the attorney for the Pentagon Papers, wrote this wonderful piece about sort of information sharing in the age of WikiLeaks and the comparisons between the Pentagon Papers. And he said his argument was the real power of the Pentagon Papers. Yes, it was what it was released, but there were all sorts of things that didn't get released. And it got me to thinking, hey, part of what's going on here is, I hope, a real assessment of, yes, we can just dump everything out there. The real question is, what do we need out there? And there's still that process going on to a certain degree.
It's a balancing issue. When I was a graduate student, I got to chat a little bit with Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was always, you know, he had always said secrecy is for losers. and he was profoundly anti-secrecy for, you know, very valid reasons. And then, you know, one of the earliest things I learned in a statecraft course 20 years ago or 25 years ago was, you know, Cardinal Richelieu, who said it was the essential for the affairs of state. That, yeah. You know, countries have to keep secrets. You know, and you know, the way I've tried to explain, you know, the balance. I mean, imagine today, you know, you and your wife go onto a car lot and you deliberate on what car you want to buy. You know, imagine if the salesman could be party to your conversation when you get home tonight, you know, when you're discussing, oh yeah, we really, you know, we can only afford X. I mean, wouldn't it be really useful for that salesman to know exactly what your break point was?
Right.
I see the people who want, you know, who rail against secrecy. I see their points. But, you know, the profound irony of the WikiLeaks story, you know, Assange's, you know, legal defense gets hacked. You know.
And then he complains about the openness of that. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone was singing Alanis Morissette. Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, exactly. So,
but is there a way for organizations to, it feels like there's been this just black and white position. You either share information or you don't share information. It feels to me that the real truth lies in the gray somewhere.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I've been thinking about, you know, how digital content has changed the music business. And I had this naive observation, wouldn't it be great if there was an iTunes for information sharing?
Yeah.
That you could, you know, break up information into granular pieces and you could figure out who has it. And where it's going and what the rights management on it is on it. But then, you know, even Apple has a hard time with that.